Suicide and Mental Health Call Center is coming to a town near you. Why you might see robots in your grocery store aisles. The FCC is making phone providers stop robocalls. And some more tech anniversaries this week. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 41. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday, 2 p.m. right here on KVY, 1030 The Voice. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. Joining us in studio today, again, Chris from the cast of The Unscrewed Theater.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right.
Glad to be back.
Good to have you with us. Please enjoy yourself today, and we actually have a great show today because there's all kinds of news and things happening this week in the news area. But I do want to mention this: there is a tech quote of the week. I'm gonna give you the answer at the end of the show.
Oh.
So I'm going to give you a question, and we're going to answer it at the end of the show.
Oh, so that guarantees that everyone will listen to the very end.
That's the hope.
All right, we're hoping.
So someone said this week, content is the new blank. Content is the new blank.
Okay.
So think about that.
I will.
I will
think about it.
And all the listeners are going to be thinking about
it. I already had like five different answers, but
okay.
I'll wait.
Okay. And it's actually very interesting, and there's a reason why, too.
Okay.
So we'll have that answer at the end of the show. But here are some of our top tech news stories this week. The FCC is making way for 988. So 988 is the new... It's going to be the 911 of mental suicide type crises.
So a crisis line.
It's going to be a national crisis line. So formally, there's an 800 number that I don't know it offhand, but
right. And that's why they have 988, because you can't remember the 800 number.
That's a perfect example. Exactly right. So so they're trying to do the right thing, and you know, a lot of this is coming from a lot of the way police are handling. They're trying to take some of the calls away from, because if a mental emergency happens or some sort of suicide crisis happens, the police are dispatched, the fire department is dispatched. They do have some training for these, but they're not specialized, you know. So this is going to be like a specialized national type thing. So,
okay.
Hopefully it's going to change the way the emergency sector works. There's also talk in some areas about a 988 running as a fourth service in some municipalities. So... a fourth service. So that would mean police being the first service, fire and rescue being second service, EMS being third service, and medical suicide being a fourth service.
Got it. I was going to say Domino's was one of those, but apparently not.
You know what? You bring up a good point. I used to work in a retail store. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But there was actually a time where I was working in a retail store, and there were always shoplifters coming into the store, and we were always calling for the police right here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other times that we were hungry and we just wanted to order lunch. And we noticed something, that our sandwiches that we ordered from the sandwich restaurant would come faster than the police. So we had this idea that, you know, maybe we can train these sandwich delivery people
to handle crisis.
to handle some crisis.
Because they get there a lot quicker.
Because if you ask me, if you bring me a sandwich, I'm going to feel better.
As would I.
If I'm in a crisis, you bring me a sandwich, you know, hopefully I'll feel a little bit better.
And we're hoping that these 988 responders mm-hmm. would also be freaky fast.
Yes, that's the idea.
Yes.
Now, there's also this idea that they may have response vehicles. And we had this idea of if they did have response vehicles, are they going to have lights and sirens like an ambulance? And if so, what kind of sound are they going to make?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that would agitate people if there's a light and siren. So maybe they could sound like an ice cream truck or something.
Ah,
Have that little music.
Okay, so we send them a sandwich, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we send a response car with the ice cream sound.
Right. It's soothing.
It's soothing.
We're looking to be caring and soothing and definitely considerate of these individuals.
De-escalate. Absolutely. We want to de-escalate these situations.
I think you and I have it solved.
There might be something there. But the idea is 988 will be a national, and is something that something good that the FCC is working towards. Something else, more grocery chains might be implementing rolling retail store robots. And I was able to see a video of these. So there's a robot called Simbe, that's S-I-M-B-E. And it looks like a vertical PVC pipe that rolls up and down the aisles mm-hmm. vertically. Okay. And they say that it is there to take inventory and monitor store conditions.
Okay.
So.
Conditions like shoplifting, maybe?
Yes. I think that's one of the main things. And by the way, I've actually seen a beta version of this operating in New Rochelle, New York around 2012, which is some time ago. So this is not a new idea. This is something that's been kind of brewing for a while. And it was at a Stop and Shop, which is a major grocery chain in New York. And it actually looked like a display. I walked right by it. A buddy of mine pointed it out. Oh, by the way, Aaron, that's a robot. I said, where? That thing right there. Oh. What? And I looked at it, and there was cameras on it, and it looked like some sort of cardboard cutout display of something. And
right.
It's something that you would normally see in a retail store. You know, there's shelves, there's offers, there's all kinds of things going on. That's what it looked like, you know.
So
if
it blends
you
in.
It blends in.
Okay.
And I stood away from it, and I observed it for a while, and it was slowly rolling and looking down this aisle.
Oh, okay.
And I did some shopping, and I came back, and it was still in that same area looking down another aisle. It was like in this same area kind of going back and forth.
Got looking. It.
Now, I would guess that those aisles are like problem aisles. So those are the aisles where people...
Yeah, where there's laundry detergent.
Yeah.
Or baby formula.
Yes,
like that.
Things that are commonly shoplifted.
Right.
So they're keeping an eye on it. And I would dare to bet that there's somebody in the control with some sort of joystick in the office,
right,
rolling that thing, you know, and zooming in, you know, with controls.
They're controlling the snitch bot.
Exactly. It's a snitch bot, you know, basically. That's just our opinion. But it's being marketed as an inventory and store monitor robot.
Well, you know, some of the stores that I've been in could really use help with inventory and store monitoring. Mm-hmm. So if this helps, then I think that would be a benefit.
Right. Now, I actually used to work in retail, and unfortunately, it was a store where there were lots of shoplifters. So we had to call the police a lot, like I had mentioned before. And one of the things that the police wanted to know is what was stolen. They want to know
specifically.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying that this person stole something. What did they steal? Okay, they want to know the price. They want to know, you know the box, what aisle it was in, things
right.
like that. And with a robot like this, if you add like some AI into it, okay,
this thing, that's not scary.
If you add some AI into this thing, you could theoretically say, okay, this robot says that there's one of this product that is gone from the shelf, but it has not been paid for because it looks at the looks from the barcodes from the
right.
recent sales.
It has access to the registers.
Yes. It says, okay, so that's missing, but nobody's purchased it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, something's wrong. And then they can just generate a list of things that have gone missing in the past hour that have not been paid for yet.
Okay.
Okay. And then...
You better not hope that that's in your pants.
And then, and then when you call the police, then you can say, yep, these 20 items are missing. So this guy that you apprehended must have one of these 20 items.
Interesting.
So I think that could be like one of these long reach, things that these robots could be good for. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely for the store's inventory.
All right. So if you want some more information about that, you could go to, or if you have a retail establishment and you're wanting a robot to go up and down your aisles of your store, you can go to SimbeRobotics.com. That's S-I-M-B-E Robotics.com. And you can see pictures of what this robot is capable of doing. And next on the news feed here is that the FCC is also making all phones and voice providers to report on their reduction efforts for robocall reduction.
Oh, wait, did you say reduction of robocalls?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because, 2020 and all the way up to this town, robocalls have just been through the roof.
They're just
piling up everywhere. So it's quite obvious that nobody is really paying attention to this national do not call registry.
I remember that.
Right. It was.
I thought I was on that.
You would put your phone number on here, and magically all of these bad phone calls were supposed to disappear. Ironically, nobody's really paying attention to that. They're just spoofing it around it. But, all of this really started, you would get a sales call, would come in, you would realize that it was a sales call, and you would just hang up the phone.
Yes.
Then came caller ID.
Right.
And that kind of set the robocalling sales calls back a little bit, because they had to say to themselves, hey, wait a minute, we have to change the things around, because they know who we are before we call.
Exactly.
So we got to find something around. And then came caller ID spoofing.
Now
they started doing research. We can get Chris to pick up his phone
because it's from my area
code. Yeah, because we can put
and it's close to my phone number, so I will think that it's someone local.
Yes, and you'll pick up the phone, and then bam, you got
it. Right,
them.
And then they asked me about my extended warranty again.
Yes. Oh, I have a lot to say about that. But obviously, they're making so the FCC is making it a requirement for phone companies to block calls, even if you have not filed for this national do not call registry. So this is going to be a system-wide thing where anyone that buys a phone, or mm-hmm. you get a phone, for the first time or whatever, you're already protected. You're supposed to be already protected from these robocalls.
Well,
okay.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I know I have T-Mobile, and whenever a call comes up, I get a message that says scam likely.
Yes.
And so I don't know if other carriers do that other than T-Mobile.
I have a Xfinity Mobile, which is part of Verizon. So mm-hmm. Verizon, Xfinity Mobile, T-Mobile, Sprint, all the carriers are being moved by the FCC to do this.
Oh, good.
So it's not that they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts.
They're being regulated.
They're being told to do it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see a reduction of robocalls, at least for a while, because they're just going to find a way around it.
Yeah. So we'll have 2 weeks of silence.
Until they can figure it out. And I was just thinking maybe their answer for the robocallers to get around this new regulation is to maybe start their own phone service specifically to evade the FCC.
Possibly. It's like a pirate radio, but for phones.
That's what we're up against. They're going to find some way, we put up the resistance, but they're just going to find another way. We have to take a commercial break. Up next, online protection 101 and some tech anniversaries. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson. Because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. The month of April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. It is an Arizona statewide law effective January 1st, 2021. It makes having a mobile device in your hand against the law. So phones down, eyes up, just drive. Most cars have a radio, so make good use of it. Before we get into our next segment, Chris, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, I can tell you that we are still 100% online with our shows and classes. We are looking towards a reopening plan, but don't have an exact date for when we're going to be able to reopen in person. So we are offering improv comedy shows every Saturday night at 7:30. You can get the free Zoom link to watch those shows. You can participate by typing your suggestions into the chat. You can go to our website, which is unscrewedtheater.org. We have an events calendar. You can click on what's happening tonight or next week and register for free. Also, we have an improv drop-in class online every Monday night, and that is for people with no improv experience at all. If you're at home on a Monday night looking for something to do and want to laugh, I would definitely suggest checking out our website and finding out more information about our online drop-in class.
All right. Thank you, Chris. With the Unscrewed Theater, that's unscrewedtheater.org is the website. Here are some notable tech anniversaries this week. Today is April 24th, 2021. The video conferencing platform Zoom turns 10 years old.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, it was founded on April 21st, 2011.
And about a billion people found it exactly a year and a month ago.
Yes. I was just thinking to myself, what will we do without Zoom?
We would have Skype and then like bits.
Yes, I concur with that. But it's funny. Zoom was the first out there, and then now there are other platforms that are out there. There's Microsoft Teams. There's
Google Meets.
You know, now they had to up their game because the demand skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So kudos to Zoom for being there, being an excellent platform, and also being able to keep up with the demand. When the demand went sky high, Zoom was there.
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciate them. Zoom actually allows me to do my spiritual meetings that I attend every week, and without it, I don't know what we would be doing.
I agree. Happy birthday, Zoom.
Also, the first movie projector was demonstrated in the United States on April 21st, 1895.
Wow.
So that brings us having the big screen for 126 years here in the United States.
Yeah, and there was four great movies so far.
I was thinking about this a little bit more, and I was thinking, since we've had movie screens, or at least movie projectors, in this country for 126 years, there's probably not a living soul right now that has not been to the movies.
Right.
Or not seen, if that's all possible.
Right.
Unless they're like a hermit somewhere.
Something like that.
All right. But hey, 126 years with the movie projector. And also, the first YouTube video was posted April 23rd, 2005.
Wow. So we 16 years of YouTube.
16 years of YouTube.
I think I remember the first video was of an elephant at the zoo or something like that.
I think so. Yeah. I think it may have been. And I must say that so much has happened through YouTube. So much of what I've learned business-wise, school-wise, and what I've heard from some of our young guests in the past, that videos that we see on YouTube are even more up-to-date than, you know, college courses or things that you would learn in traditional learning institutions.
Right. You can learn just about anything on YouTube.
Yep. How to fix your car, how to start a business. Okay, how to hire people.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of things. The other things that I enjoy about YouTube is that if I'm trying to invest in something or buy a product, chances are that somebody has already made a video about that very thing that I am about to buy.
Right.
And I can just look it up and see it in action.
How it works.
How it works, what people think of it. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yes. Okay. And there is enough content on there to where we could not watch it in our entire lifetime, even if we started now.
Are you almost to the answer of the question that content is the new blank?
Maybe.
Okay. We're going to get to that answer shortly. One more anniversary, and that actually happens tomorrow, which is April 25th. The Hubble telescope was placed in orbit. April 25th. What year? 1990.
Oh, see, Rob, who was here last week, would have known that.
He definitely would have known that. And that was 31 years ago, and that telescope is still in operation. It's running on a 486 microchip.
Wow.
And it's just doing some amazing things. So if you look at the Hubble, if you do a Google search for Hubble telescope images.
Oh, yes.
Amazing, amazing photos, and it's still working. They've had some glitches from time to time. They had to send some repair missions from time to time, but it's still working. It's still right. It's still an excellent telescope,
and it's just getting deeper and deeper into the universe.
The a very interesting quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. I follow him on a lot of the things that he does. Is the reason why it takes such beautiful shots is because it is outside of the atmosphere of the Earth, and the Earth's atmosphere actually blocks a lot of light and things that it can actually photograph.
Okay.
For example, a telescope here on Earth could only pick up certain things, but if you're outside of the atmosphere of the Earth, all of those blocks and all those natural filters of the Earth's atmosphere is out of the way, and you can actually see way, way beyond. And if you have a good lens and some good optics and good processing, you can get some beautiful shots, and that's exactly what the Hubble telescope is.
So it's like the atmosphere is the worst Snapchat filter ever.
If you're trying to look at the universe, yes, absolutely. Oh man, we're running out of time here, but I just wanted to do a quick online protection 101. We had talked about running spyware on your computer and also using DuckDuckGo as a search engine.
I do that.
Our next tip is to use the Onion browser, the Tor browser, because that is almost untraceable, we like to say. A lot of people have been using it, and it's something that you can use for your own benefit as well.
Okay.
So, but I think that might be the only time that we have just for that segment.
All right.
But before we wrap up, here is the answer to the tech quote of the week. Content is the new oil. And the reason why content is the new oil, it was coined by Byron Allen, who's the CEO of Allen Media Group, that back in the Industrial Revolution, people were consuming oil faster than they were making it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what is happening today with social media. People are consuming content faster than it is being put out.
That's why you need to check out unscrewedtheater.org.
Lots and lots of content.
Unscrewed Theater on YouTube.
Thank you very much. Tuning in today, my name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Chris Seidman, our co-host today. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board, making us sound good. Thank you very much for coming and listen to the Computer Doctor Show live every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KBY 1030 The Voice. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.